The scripture that we were using was Matthew 21:42 and Mark 12, verse 11. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Matthew 21:42, Mark 12, verse 11. And, of course, this is one of the prayer line cards that I had from the Grace Church, so it's still in there from many years.
Mark what? 12:11.
12:11. And Matthew 21:42. Sometimes, you know, we underestimate God's abilities and we don't realize how deep a word can go that seemingly is so kind of out of place, if you wish. Matthew 21:42 is not that. I've got the wrong verse.
Bet you it's preachable anyway.
Yes, it is. It is correct. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Well, he was talking about his own destruction. Have you never read in the scripture, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he to on whom it falls will be crushed. Crushing is not something most Christians want to talk about, because when this scripture was declared by the Queen of England, the whole nation was being crushed. Why was it allowed? I think sometimes we underestimate God's abilities to use something negative for his glory. Even his own son became our salvation, but not in a way that you and I would have chosen. We would have probably found something different rationally so that he wouldn't get hurt. How many know that when you got hurt, you sometimes were able to receive healing afterwards? And you would be formed in a different way so that you could help to heal others. Matthew 12, verse 11. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. If you look at this chapter, it's speaking about the tenants, the parable of the tenants, etc. And, of course, this lady has to do quite a bit of searching. Verse 1, he then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenant to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Is he talking about anybody you and I know? I'm at Mark chapter 12. I'm now at verse 4. Heading. Mark 12. Sorry.
I'm in the wrong one. No, it's not.
Sorry. Then he sent another servant to them, and they struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. Who is he talking to?
Us.
Huh? He's talking to us, but he's also talking to the Jews of that day. that were constantly rejecting all of the ones that God had sent them over the years. He had one left to send, a son. So now he's talking about himself, whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So it is really speaking about himself. And what you and I would have never conceived, including all the demons of hell, the plan of salvation is in those words. Because if they would have ever figured out that they were going to lose what they had deceitfully gained through Adam, now they were about to lose everything, because they did. Because he did go to the cross. He did choose to lay down on that cross. He did not fight them back. So, when you and I look at something that's happening, this particular verse can give you a quickening on your heart to awaken you not to be looking at just what you see on the outside. It may be allowed for you to see something way deeper because of the Spirit within you. See, the Holy Spirit inside of us is capable of picking up on something that you and I would find totally disastrous and turn it around. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." Well, that includes death. Jairus, their daughter, died. Everybody in town laughed at Jesus. Right? Mm-hmm. And he told them, "No, she's sleeping." Why is his vision different than the rest of the folks in town? Maybe he's got the mind of the anointed, and he's seeing something deeper. He's telling them she's asleep. He brings in Peter, James, and John, and the parents, and they're the only ones that are allowed in the house. And then he tells her to get up. How about if all the town folks was inside the kitchen, laughing at him? Would the child gotten up? Would the child have gotten up?
No. Oh, I don't know about that. I think the child would have gotten up.
Think about it. Why would he kick them out?
Because of their unbelief.
Because of their unbelief.
Yeah, that's right.
They were breeding death.
They were declaring death constantly. Yeah. Is your mouth and my mouth declaring death when we see something? Is it declaring fear tactics? Is it declaring, "Oh my God, my grandchild is going to be damaged"? See, what is that? That's the focus of the natural man. What is this whole night being? I haven't shut up since 7 o'clock.
Right.
And I'm not going to.
Good, good.
Because my aim is to obey, not to... She's been hired for my test tonight. Yes.
Wow.
But you notice I'm not listening.
You plugged
another
in.
You told me I had to have a test, though.
Yeah, she's giving me one, right?
Yep.
I can take it, girl.
I know you can. I can.
I've had a few extra years to practice. But I'm not going to let you off the hook either. Right, Mary?
Right.
Going to tell her the truth? Ship, shape, get on that
job and do what God tells you. All teasing aside, unbelief operates in almost every single one of us. We don't know to what degree, except when there's a crisis. When there's an action and a reaction, are we going with the natural man or are we going with the vision of the Lord? Are we listening to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and using whatever challenge is in front of us to run to Him and get a solution going? Did you hear me? To get a solution going. How? By turning it around. By beginning to say, okay, God, you've got a plan. This is marvelous in your sight. You have got something going on here. And it's all about me getting straightened out so that I won't get so frustrated. So that I won't be disturbed about what happens around me, but I will be the intercessor to change the hearts of those that are struggling. Jesus went into his hometown and they all knew that he was a carpenter's son. Yes? How come he couldn't heal hardly anybody in the town?
That's all they could see.
That's all they could see, the carpenter. That's why my cousin sees only her cousin.
That was very good.
Zingo, right?
That was very good.
All teasing aside, she's known me since she was a kid.
But I have a question now.
All kidding aside, go right ahead.
That was a very deep sigh. I understand what you're saying about the unbelief, but if faith is strong enough, wouldn't it override the unbelief? The reason I'm asking that is because your question was, if everybody was in the kitchen laughing, would the girl have risen? And my thinking was that his faith was strong enough, even over that laughing, to raise that child.
I think you underestimate what the Lord's operation was. Mm-hmm. He was going to obey the Father. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the first step. Mm-hmm. If the Father would have wanted the resurrection to happen in front of the whole crowd, which he could have.
All right.
So we're talking about obedience, number one, which that we didn't enter that into the picture because most people just look at the circumstances. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's where we're usually aimed at, is what kind of circumstances is he in? Mm-hmm. But his hometown gives us a very pure picture of what unbelief does. Mm-hmm. It cancels the victory that is available. Okay. Secondly, when the Lord went to a funeral, and there was a whole funeral procession, and here's this wonderful young man that's gone, he presents the son to Mama. Why? That's done in an open forum. Probably the mourners were all crying, but there wasn't a discussion about coming and going to do a work. Mm-hmm. Miraculous work, if you wish, a resurrection job. And if he should send you and I on a resurrection job, are we ready to go and do? Or are we going to question, how many people do I take with me?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Got it? He gave the job two different ways, two different
scenarios.
But the end result was he still obeyed the Father. Because again, you and I are commissioned of God to listen to what the Father does. And our goal is to become like Him. So if we're to become like Him, that means we've got to get our instructions from Papa too. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. He never did anything to please Himself. Only what the Father showed Him to do. Okay? Now, tonight, with the two visions that he gave me, I didn't expect to go there because I'll tell you truthfully, I had two messages. I didn't know which one was going to operate. I knew about the little card because it fell in my lap today. That's all I knew. But it came back. Why? Because of circumstances. And sometimes we learn more from something that happens and we can relate to it factually from a painful experience, and then you see the fruit and the healing and you say, yes! And it's from practical, everyday stuff. I can preach to you about the Word, but it doesn't touch home until I give you a vision that is something that's in my heart already, registered. Do I intend to make you all upset? No. But was I upset in the process? Yes. How did I survive? Because of him. If it wouldn't have been in me, I'll tell you, I would have probably bounced a few pages off the book and fixed a few heads and probably spent some time in jail. But that's another story. You understand?
I do.
Okay. So what am I trying to say? God is looking for a mature bride. He's looking for a people and a priesthood that is holy unto him, dedicated to him and him alone. That's the other message. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. You can actually take verse 1 and then we'll jump to verse 9. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Rid yourself. Clean it up. Get it out of there. Verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Meaning you got to give some away to those that don't deserve it, in your opinion. How many have an opinion that somebody doesn't deserve something sometimes? That doesn't get rid of the malice. Doesn't get rid of the anger. What it does is it activates it. Okay. I'm not looking at you.
I didn't even notice. Talk before service. And it's like you're pushing all these buttons right now.
Yeah. It's the word. That, he gave me that 2 hours and a half ago. So.
Right. I know.
Okay. He prepared me. All teasing aside, the way that you're going to mature and grow up is to really ask the Lord for ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. He is not preparing us to be perfect without a plan to perfect us. Not, he's not going to do it. And my job, whether you scream, yell, jump, or do whatever, is to give you the word. And once you have the word, the accountability is yours. You can say, I don't want this. Well, fine. You don't have to have it if you don't want it. You have the right to choose. I will respect your free will. But that doesn't change his opinion. There are times when you are going to be asked questions and you can give your opinion and it'll produce what it used to produce in your carnal walk with flesh. But when you decide to use the word and the ways of the Lord, it'll produce signs and wonders and miracles, and you will never be the same. You will never be the same. So your goal is to listen and obey him to the best of your ability. I'm not expecting you to do this on carnal nature, on your own flesh. You're not going to be able to do it. It's got to be his Holy Spirit. He's a counselor, he's a comforter, and he is a healer. Holy Spirit heals, counsels, and comforts. When are you going to ask him for help? It's up to you. It's up to me. Am I going to be that priest that he wants me to be? Or am I going to be a hireling? As long as I get my pay, I'm okay. Why was King David chosen above all his brothers? Why was his heart after God?
Because
he was working in the field with the
sheep.
You can learn a lot from animals, right? Yes or no? You can spoil them, but you can also train them. when the prophet of the Lord entered King David's dad's house, he also had his eye on one of the kids. Tall, handsome, had all the attributes that would fit a kingly look. All right? And as he prayed and asked God for help and God's opinion, what happened? You sure you don't have another kid? Oh, well, we got that rowdy one, the one we kind of keep out of the house. He's out in the woods taking care of the sheep. And the prophet went. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. When the prophet of the Lord went to anoint him, it was because he was God's chosen vessel to do a work for the nation that no one else could do. Now keep your eyes closed and say, Lord Jesus, when you called me into the kingdom, you had a plan that needs to be completed by willing servants and willing subjects in obedience to God's plan. To bring about a change for New England. Because there's a lot of stubborn people in New England. A lot of religious people in New England. And he has chosen us. To be a royal priesthood. Not set on what we want. But committed. To be a holy nation. A people belonging to God. That we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are a people. Once we had not received mercy, but now I have received mercy. And I receive it so that I can give it away. I need to give some to me first. And then to those who hurt me. Whether they're in this realm or the other. In Jesus' name. We pray.
Amen.